Oh, all right. Broadcast video is live. Okay. All right, everybody, how you doing? This is Marshall Kuchar, also known as Complex in Hip Hop Circles, and you are listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. And today we have a special guest, Ryan Wheaton of DrawRyanDraw.com. How you doing, Ryan?
Doing good, man. How about yourself?
Pretty awesome. Now, is that your like official website, or I saw you post some other website links before too? Do you have another one going up now, or?
Man, I'm all over the place. DrawRyanDraw is basically just my sketch blog. I post all my process stuff there, but you can also check me out at Ryan Wheaton Illustration. It'll just forward you to a Facebook page.
Oh, okay. I'm writing that down. Illustration.com. Okay, cool. So, it's early in the morning. We're here in the middle of the week recording a podcast, not in the car. Pretty awesome. Ryan's wiping the sleep out of his eyes.
Yes.
Let's see. So, I don't know. I guess I'll just start with kind of a little bit of a interview type of thing. Now, you're from the Missouri area, correct?
Yeah, I'm currently living in southern Missouri.
And you, is that where you're from originally, or?
Yeah, I've lived all over. I was born on the East Coast, grew up on the West Coast, and ended up right in the middle.
Okay, where on the East Coast?
South Carolina, that area.
Oh, okay, sweet.
Yeah.
It's a nice area. cool. So, what first got you like started really into art, like where you knew that you wanted to kind of pursue this?
I think just watching cartoons as a kid, really, and just being enamored by people making, you know, pictures move.
Right. What were like some of your favorites?
Just a lot of the early 90s stuff, you know, the Spider-Man cartoons. I don't know, I just really like that style.
Okay.
I missed out on all the really cool 80s stuff. You know, I didn't find that until I was a little bit older.
Right. I remember, I think it was the 90s, right, when that Batman series came out. That was really cool.
Yeah.
It was like kind of blocky characters and stuff. That one was really cool.
I dug all that stuff for sure.
And I remember, like, no, I don't remember. I guess it was 90s. The Turtles was 90s, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
They were really early, though. Yeah. I really dug them. And then there was, remember that cartoon, Gargoyles or whatever? Do you remember that one?
I do.
That one was awesome. I used to love that one. So you started getting into the animation, and did you like automatically start like drawing all those characters and stuff?
Yeah, that's all it was. That's basically what a big portion of my artistic growth was, or just seeing something and trying to recreate it.
Sweet. And so you pursued a little bit, or got started looking into it, pursuing some like animation training and stuff, right?
Yeah, right after high school, I was enrolled at the Art Institute of Denver. Thankfully, I backed out because it was, you know, they wanted $20,000 a year sort of thing. It's going to end up costing me $85,000.
Right.
And I just couldn't do it. Yeah. Plus, you know, I hadn't done a lot of animating, and I'm sure I probably would have gotten burned out on it doing, like, the assembly line style stuff.
Right.
Because I had this idealized thing about animation. I didn't realize that if I got a job, I might be the guy who animates like leaves blowing on the ground, you know, or like that plastic bag in the background. That's like what I'd be working on for 6 months. So,
yeah, no, it's a big reality check when you find out what these animators actually end up doing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, well, luckily with technology nowadays, you might be able to get back into that if that's something you're still interested in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
As you know, and a lot of people who listen know, I started messing with it myself and got kind of an intro down to one of my music videos, and that was like super fun. Now that I've learned the program a little bit, it's pretty easy actually to do some basic stuff, obviously. I mean, you can get, the more in depth you go, I mean, that little intro could probably have taken me like weeks. But now, you know, I could do it in like a few hours probably, that amount of animation.
Right.
But yeah, definitely inspired by animation myself. I used to really dig the Disney stuff like everybody. Right. I didn't know why, but I used to love The Little Mermaid. And you would think, man, you know, you're like a dude and you're like, you're not supposed to love this stuff, but I watched that thing over and over and over.
Yeah, that's too funny. That's my mom said I wore out multiple VHS tapes of The Little Mermaid.
Every time I went to my aunt's house, that I'd be like, put on Little Mermaid, and she'd make me like macaroni and cheese, and I'd sit there and watch it. Good memories. I used to love Aladdin too. That was a big one.
Yeah, I think it was Little Mermaid and Robin Hood were the two that I watched the most.
Oh, you mean like that classic old Robin Hood? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, with like the fox, and they're all, you know, animals.
Oh, that one's awesome. I love that one.
Yeah, great soundtrack as well.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so also you've dabbled in music and stuff a little bit too. Has that been, like, have the two informed each other, or is your music influence informed your art at all?
You know, not really. I kept them as separate hobbies. In high school, I had the idea I wanted to be a rock star, which I think a lot of people do. But over the past few years, I've been phasing out music as much. I couldn't really dedicate the amount of time to both that I wanted.
Right.
Plus, you know, I mean, other than Branson, Southern Missouri isn't really known for having a really good music scene, so it's just hard to get anything started.
Oh, okay. Is now St. Louis? I don't know on the map. Is that, where is that in Missouri?
It's about 3.5 hours northeast.
Okay.
From where I'm at.
All right. Because I know a lot of people came from St. Louis, and there's a lot of like underground indie, at least for hip hop. There's a bunch of indie groups and stuff. Frozen Food Section.
Yeah, that's actually where. I'm pretty sure Mahfood's and his brother out of St. Louis.
Yeah, Jim Mahfood's from there. So definitely a cool scene over there, and I know of. Actually, with my next album I'm doing, the guy who makes the beats, his name is Engelbert, and he's from there, and that's kind of his whole crew. They all know each other, and a bunch of albums he's done beats for, like Jim Mahfood has done the album covers for, and definitely a cool scene over there.
Yeah, I mean, to put it in perspective, I'm closer to Arkansas than I am to St. Louis, so.
Right. Yeah, no, I could see. I mean, it's kind of that way for me. Like I live right near New York and stuff, sort of like 2 hours away, and like 2 hours from Boston. So like, you would think I have like this awesome like hip hop culture around me, but you know, I live in Connecticut. Kind of as far away from both of those as you can be in Connecticut. So I don't really get up there too much or down there. But, yeah, man. So, cool. So, the other thing I wanted to really talk to you about is now you've been getting into comics for a little while now. You did your first comic. Was that for the mini comic monster challenge that we did, was that your first comic?
Yeah, pretty much. I've had ideas to do comics for a long time, but I just always let it intimidate me.
Right.
I'd get freaked out by, you know, like each panel you have so many different choices. And finding Art and Story a couple years ago really helped, you know, because they broke it down.
Yeah, no doubt. That's a lot of us who are in the audience and down with the Comic Projects group, I think, have been influenced by Art and Story, for sure. So cool. So you made your first comic. You printed them up. You're working on more comics now. You're like all involved in this. And then you just recently did your first comic show. How did that go?
I did. It was good. It wasn't necessarily a comics convention. It was more geared to general fandom. A lot of tabletop gaming and sci-fi stuff. But right. It was a lot of fun. I didn't move much product, but everybody that came by the table was really down with what I was doing.
That's cool. And did you meet, were there some other people selling comics there at all, or was it?
Yeah, there were a couple of guys focusing more on commissions, and I think that's probably, I would have done better had I not been trying to move a new title.
Right.
But for networking purposes, it was amazing. Especially since I plan on showing at a VisionCon in February of next year there in Springfield. You know, just to kind of have my name out there and that recognizability.
Yeah, definitely. Is it one you think you would go to again?
Yeah. The people putting on the promoters were super nice. You know, they asked me back next year. I'll change up my game plan a little because I have an idea of the type of people that come.
Right.
Because the artist alley was kind of, it wasn't an offshoot, but it was just like an added bonus for the people, you know, so the people going to this convention knew what they were going for, you know, be it playing video games or playing Mech Warrior or whatever other tabletop game they had going on.
Yeah. Well, that's actually kind of cool though, because, you know, you get your stuff out to a little bit of a different audience. That's always a good thing, you know? So hopefully, you know, some people went away with some Astronaut comics. And
yeah. You know, moved.
Go ahead.
Buttons were the biggest hit, you know, so that's just kind of advertising for me if people are wearing them around. So.
Right. Now, how was it trying to talk to people? Did you have to kind of, like, yell at them to talk to them, or did you just wait till people came?
See, like I said, this convention's for, like, people who played D&D, so the social awkwardness was really, really high. And I know, like, even at normal conventions, people, like, get all weird about talking to artists, so right. it was a little tough at first, because they would walk by, like, just far enough away from the table to where I'd have to speak loudly to get them to come over. And then at one point, I had my girlfriend sitting at the table with me, and it was like a force field for these guys. Like, they didn't want to come near because there was a girl at the table almost. You know, like, and it was a legitimate thing. Like, they would, like take the long way around.
Yeah, it's obvious. That's so funny. You know, it's funny because I even thought of bringing my wife along with me, like, to these things because she's, like, got a really, like, inviting smile and, like, people just talk to her very easily. So I'm like, oh, well, that maybe she could kind of talk to people too and that would make people more interested. But now seeing it, hearing that, I wouldn't be surprised if the same type of thing happened.
I think it was a bigger convention and had more just people off the streets, it would have been fine. But, you know,
Yeah, that's an interesting observation. I haven't heard that one yet so far, and I've listened to a lot of people talk about conventions. So.
Yeah, there's not a lot of female interaction with these guys,
right.
You know, which is fine. Like, I love all the same stuff these guys do, but they just don't have that social filter.
Yeah.
A lot of hover hands going on, you know, like that sort of mentality.
Hover hands?
Yeah, have you ever checked out that site? I mean, it's not that weird, but it's where, like, a guy's standing by a girl with his arm around her, but his hand's, like, not touching her, just, like, hovering over her.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yes, to be young and awkward.
Absolutely.
All right, so, let's see, I'm trying to think, is there, like, any other observations from it? Like, when you did finally talk to people, were they cool, or, like, how did that work out?
Yeah, it was really great. I mainly focused on them. You know, once I asked them, like, what they were there for and where their fandom lies, you know, they really opened up to me, you know, because they they so desperately want to talk to people about this random role-playing game they're playing, or, you know.
Right.
There were some bronies in attendance.
Nice.
And yeah, it was cool. It was cool just seeing people really passionate about things most people would just, you know, assume is child's play.
Yeah, I think that's a cool thing, too. I remember one convention, actually the convention I'm going to be at doing this weekend, I went to the first one, which was last year, and one of the guys who I had took a long time talking to, he was like, we were talking about, because somebody on one of their tables, they had like all these drawings like printed up of Wu-Tang members, like collect all the Wu-Tang members type of thing. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. I got to go back and get those or whatever. And I was talking about it, and this guy at the table, he like heard me say that, and he's like, he said something like, he's like, oh, you like Wu-Tang? Yeah, I saw those. Those are cool. Like, he kind of got me into that and like started talking about hip-hop, and I'm like, bam, like that's, I could go on forever about right. that. So then we ended up talking about that, and I looked at, and that made me want to look at his comics. I looked at his comics, and I bought them, and just because the guy was a nice dude. It wasn't even necessarily my style of comic, but, yeah. You know, I think that's kind of a big part of it. You get to, you kind of have a personal interaction with somebody, and they just have fun talking to you, and they'll want to just get your stuff to support, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed, you know, after I would have this initial conversation, they would always come back by the table, see what's up, flip through my stuff again, so it's really important. I found making it about them has worked better than trying to do, like, the greasy car salesman sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely the tactic I'm going to be trying out, so... let's see. What about other creators? Were you able to connect with some other people in the area who make comics? Or
yeah, since it was basically anybody who created something could be there. So we had a guy, Dave Frizzell, who's done album covers for like Avenged Sevenfold and some other pretty well-known bands. He was showing work and had a bunch of prints. And there were some other local comics creators there. There was a lady who specialized in like furry or anthropomorphic art, so it's just all over the place. But I definitely made some really good connections.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's one of the probably other awesome things about these conventions. That's what I'm looking forward to this one I'm doing, because it's kind of, it's not like your traditional comic convention. It's like, it's kind of like a SPX type of thing, but like way lower scale. But it's just like all indie creators mostly, and like the, I think like the Ninja Turtles dudes are gonna be there. Like
oh,
that's
wow.
about it. That's about as big though as you get, but they're pretty big right now. Anyways,
yeah, that's, that's monumental.
But I think they actually, I could be totally wrong on this, but I think they might come from the area. Actually, from okay. Northampton, Mass. I don't know if that's true. For some reason, I feel like I read that. So that's kind of cool. So they were there. Like last year, I don't know if they were there or if it was just like some people who work on some of the new Turtles titles. But yeah, no, that's, it's definitely a really kind of, it's like kind of comics projects, you know, group. It's like just mm-hmm. indie people doing cool things.
Yeah, I mean, it was, table cost was low enough that networking alone paid for itself. Right. There are all these connections I made that I wouldn't have had the opportunity to have had I not been tabling, so it was worth it.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations on a successful first show.
Yeah, it was nerve-wracking because I didn't know what to expect, but I had a buddy of mine tabling with me, so that made it a lot better.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize you split the table.
Yeah, yeah. He's just getting started with, you know, he did a lot of commissions, had some mini prints and stuff, but
I noticed that it's funny, like, I'll go to conventions sometimes and, like, there'll be people sitting there and they don't even have anything to sell, really. They're just sketching and maybe they're selling sketches or something, I guess, but that's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And then you'll go by tables and people will be, they'll just be sitting there drawing and you'll even say hi to them and they'll be like, hey, and that's about it. Like,
yeah, there was social awkwardness from some of the artists there as well, you know, because there was a lot of downtime. So I would walk around just as a con goer and talk to some of the artists. And I was dealing with that same sort of thing where they made me feel awkward to walk up and talk to them.
Yeah, no doubt. Alrighty. So, well, I guess what else I wanted to talk about was the new Comics Projects group project that we're going to be doing. Awesome. Yeah, we've been talking about this for a while. You know, it's kind of funny, like, when we first started this, Ryan approached me through Facebook Messenger and says, you know, oh, I really want to do a comic. Like, we should start up, like, some kind of mini comic dump truck type of thing. And I'm like, you know what? I really want to do a comic, too. Like, so, like, let's do it. Then I was like, oh, let's start a group, you know, because I kind of wanted to start a group anyways. So we did that. And it was, like, totally off a whim. Like, we didn't really, like,
yeah,
you know, take time to kind of structure it and put it together or anything. All I really did was I emailed Kevin and asked him, you know, if he had any advice. And that's about it, because he's the one who did the dump truck before. And, you know, and then we just went at it. And it was really awesome, like, so awesome that, like, all these people joined in. I mean, Ted Secco, Javier Hernandez, like, those are people who, like, I wouldn't have expected, you know, just a lot of people. And just, we got to know a lot of people, new people and stuff too. And it was really cool how everybody like jumped on and was into it. So, you know, we want to continue this thing. It's a really cool group. I don't want to, you know, lose the community that is very supportive, and everybody's still been around, but there's been less activity because we're not doing an actual comic project at the moment. But, you know, we had like a month or so off, you know, it's probably good to take some time off, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's time to start a new comic project.
That's right. Let's do it.
So, what we're thinking of doing is, we talked about it, before that we were going to do like, or we put out a poll at one point that what kind of comic project do you want to do? I think we had web comics on the list. We had another mini comic on the list. There was a few things, and then there was an anthology, and it seemed like that was the biggest, most popular one, the anthology idea. So I think we're gonna try to go with a variation on the anthology idea. What we want to do is we're going to start a Tumblr page that everybody can contribute to, and we're going to do like every person, kind of like a stream of consciousness thing, like where every person will submit two pages and it'll just go off of the last person or whatever, have somebody start it off, have somebody end it. So that's kind of the idea. You know, it's not a definite like thing, like if we come to find out nobody wants to do it, that's fine, we'll just go on to like another comic project. But you know, I think people will be into this, and
right.
What we'll do is we'll release it, this will be like a totally free thing, like if you volunteer to do it, you know, it's going to be just Creative Commons, people can print it up, sell it, share it, give it away, whatever you want to do. There's not going to be like anybody, like, I don't know, like we don't want to have like any restrictions or anything where it's like, you know, we're going to publish this and have everybody get a cut type of thing. Like, I'm not trying to get that messy into it, you know. Like I said, just want to do like Creative Commons, and we'll have a certain format that we'll let you guys know about. And like I said, we'll publish it digitally on Tumblr, but then, you know, like I said, we'll put together a thing where everybody can print it as well. And what we want to do is do like a theme, you know, so I don't know, maybe we could kind of brainstorm on a few themes right here live, and then what we're going to do is put out a poll right after this podcast, and we'll see what you guys think.
I think it'd be nice if we could put out a few different polls, maybe have one for theme, setting, protagonists and antagonists, and it can get crazy, you know, we could do it over anything. Anything could be our protagonist, but that way to get the rest of the group a little more involved. And then maybe you and I could, you know, you're talking about possibly having a moderator to kind of guide the story along.
Yeah, kind of like an editor or something like that.
Like maybe one of us come up, once we have all these things nailed down, we can have like a two-sentence little thesis about what this, you know, kind of putting the story into motion and then pass it off to the first artist.
Okay. So do you think that we should do it where it's going to be stream of consciousness, where like anything can happen, or should we kind of have, like you said, a little bit of a thread so that, you know, anything can happen, but you got to make sure it's going in a certain direction type of thing?
Yeah, I think we should just make sure everyone's on board to telling some sort of story. I mean, it can be crazy and it can be wild, but I think I just rather somebody not try and mess with the next person in line by putting them in some too crazy of a box, you know?
Right. Well, that's kind of interesting. I hadn't thought of anything more than just stream of consciousness, but that would be cool because, you know, then it would be readable.
Right, yeah.
You know, and it might actually be enjoyable for people, like, other than the fact that, like, you're going to get a bunch of cool artists drawing crazy stuff, like, mm-hmm. It'll actually have a story to it. So that's cool. I wonder if we should appoint somebody, you know, to kind of do that, too. That, like you said, like an editor. So that's an interesting thing. We'll put some polls up in the Comics Project group and see how we can structure this. And I wonder when we should kind of officially launch it as far as starting the project. Like, if we should kind of have a little bit of a goal of when we're going to come to these decisions.
I'd say that, I mean, if the polls take off, I mean, the people that do contribute seem to be on there somewhat regularly, so we could start it a week from today, in theory.
Right.
We'll set up the Tumblr and everything and get the polls going.
Cool.
And give people a week to vote on it, and we'll keep promoting it.
Right. And then we should probably have a cap of some sort. Last time we had people joining the Comic Projects group, like, almost all the way till the end, people wanted to join and stuff, which is awesome that people were really into it. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, we did run into a little bit of a snag, you know, where it got to be where it's like, maybe there's too many people, we need to kind of make sure we have a cap on it. So, cool. Well, we'll figure that out. We'll probably, you know, do a bunch of private messaging to work some of that stuff out. But, yeah, so that's what we're thinking, an anthology published on Tumblr and also wherever people want to print them when it's all finished. And we'll have fun, and we'll kind of maybe discover some new things about storytelling and just learn from the process. That's kind of what the whole idea of the Comics Project thing is for us to all kind of learn and have that feedback and stuff. So I want to continue that, and then we'll probably, after that, we'll probably get into maybe another mini comic or something. We'll see. Yeah. But
Yeah, I think it could be a lot of fun. It'd be interesting seeing, you know, where people leave this character we haven't created, and then how people are going to get him or her in and out of situations, or it even, you know, it could be really anything.
That might be a cool thing, too, as part of the project, is, like, maybe the start doesn't have to be, like, the start of making the official comic. Maybe the start can be, all right, now we're in character creation mode.
Right.
And we'll all submit for a week, like, a character, or whatever, mm-hmm. and then we'll decide on that, and then next we'll maybe go into, like, story mode, like, plot or something, like, basic plot or something, and then we'll decide on that, like, the next week, and then probably after that we can get into the comic and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Make the process, you know, the...
part of the
actual project.
Yeah. Cool. That is a cool idea. Writing it down. And, you know, that kind of will be neat because pretty soon the 30 characters in 30 days is coming up in November. Oh, so it's like starting it off with characters is perfect, you know.
Right. Now are you going to be involved this year?
Well, the thing is, I guess people who were signed up last year are automatically kind of signed up now unless you cancel your thing or whatever. So I think I am going to, like, loosely do it, but I guarantee right now I'm not going to do 30 in 30 days. But I do need some new characters and stuff, so I'm just going to participate, but probably not make the finish the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I think I'm going to go for it. I have a lot of characters floating around in my sketchbook so that I could flesh out for it.
Yeah. I like to do that, too. Like, last year, I actually redid some of the characters I had already done, and but I kind of further developed them, made new designs for them, and even wrote a little stuff about them and stuff. So I could even do that with Glyph, because honestly, Glyph has been off the, you know, seat of my pants type of thing. Like, I don't even know his origin or anything.
Right.
Like, I haven't written really anything for him except for what you see in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be cool, definitely. Definitely need some new characters.
Yeah, I like that quite a few authors were involved, so they were just writing out, you know, characters. It was really cool reading down through a lot of that stuff. That's something that I need to do as well. Last year I just did cool images. You know, these characters didn't have a backstory or even a name.
Right.
And I crowdsourced it a lot. You know, I'd ask Facebook what I should draw, and I ended up getting some really bizarre, like a Republican burrito with a mustache was one of the characters. It was kind of all over the place.
That's crazy. That's a good idea to do that, too. I haven't really tried that yet. Put a call out, what should I draw type of thing.
Yeah. You get some weird suggestions.
Cool, man. So I guess that's kind of about it for the podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed, and you know, thank you for listening. Ryan, where can people find you?
You can check out my Tumblr at drawryandraw.com. I've also got a Facebook illustration page at ryanwheatonillustration.com. And if you're on Instagram, I'm always uploading process shots. Just follow me at Ryan Wheaton.
Cool. Alrighty. So, thank you for coming on the show, Ryan. And
yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. And I'm sure we'll have you on again sometime. And, you know, guys know where you can reach me, plex@plexhop.com, for the email, plexhop.com, obviously, @MarshallPlex, and all that fun stuff. So, thank you again for listening, everybody, and we will see you next week on the Escape Artists Podcast.
Take it easy.
Dun, dun, dun.